One interesting story I related it last night to the Parnell, Sharon's, went out there to a barbecue. And because of the Plymouth connection, myself and Colin were living at Plymouth when the war started, basically. And we're talking about stress. And I said, well, I can't understand it. So I said, something really stressful ended in my life. I said, we were at Plymouth, we were at Camel's Head School, or was it? No, one went up by Clifton Place.
So you moved to Plymouth?
No, only temporary, because there was dozens of aunties and uncles in Plymouth.
Oh, I see, you went to stay with them.
Yeah, yeah. Went to stay with, it was Aunt Lil, that's where it lived, in Morley Place. Well, that got blown up during the war anyway.
So this was just before the war, or?
During the war. Yeah, well, we were down there before the war started, basically. Well, almost. And I can remember during planes coming over, miles on the sky. And then you'd hear the bombs dropping a long way away. But we were at Clifton Place. I'm trying to think of the name. Was it Ebrington Street School or something like that we went to? Anyway, you're in assembly now, and we're talking about stress. So you go through the rigmarole, and the headmaster, whoever he was that day, came in and said, we've got some sad news today, ladies and gentlemen and children. Jimmy so-and-so and Mary so-and-so will not be with us anymore. They were killed in an air raid last night. And he, that's it. Right, get your books out and away you go. You had accepted about, you think, oh, fancy that, you know. Where did they live, you know, and all that. But.
So you went to Plymouth, was that after your father had died?
Before he died, I think it must have been something to do with his serious illness, I expect.
Right, so
I remember him being so frail he couldn't move, you know, and in the end he got taken down to a tree here,
down at Red Roof.
Red Roof way.
Yeah.
It probably ought to do with that, but
it's quite ironic that where most children are being pulled out, evacuated from the cities, you were actually.
It went down in there.
So I don't. Were you there for very long, or?
No, about 2 months, that's all.
Oh, right.
Remember the all the hose pipes in the streets, and the temporary water mains used to lay on top. Remember all that?
Oh, my God. But so you were there at the Blitz?
But it's all happening all the time, so you. You know, that was.
So then you came back to Launceston then?
Launceston then, yeah, back to them. And then we were up to Trelawney when we went down to Plymouth, obviously.
So you remember the Americans coming?
Yeah, I remember them coming in 1942, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes, because there was Gordon's Bakery, right, by the tower,
yeah,
right?
On the corner.
Now then, we went out, this would be the herding camp. You got a herding lane going that way, and in Clampett's Lane it was going that way.
Yeah, past the hospital, yeah.
So they had a gap in the edge, and there's this big American stood with a gun. You kids, no, we didn't get any grub, you know, right? So he said, I get penny buns down Gardens. He didn't know where Gardens was, and he didn't know what. He said, how much money is it? He pulled his hand out, and there was half crowns, two florins, two bobbits. More money than I'd ever seen, I suppose, in that. Well, take what you want, and then I think we took 1 half crown, come back with a bag of bloody penny buns, you know. Went in Gardens and said, so many penny buns, please. And Mrs. Somewhere, a woman in there, what are you boys doing with that? So I was for the soldiers out the camp, you know. Yeah, so that my first American I ever spoke to was on guard at her camp. And of course we made visits, nightly visits in them days, you know, when they were glad to see her. And a number of photographs, Roger, that was taken with me and my brothers, and Clyde Gilbert was innumerable. They were obviously mementos, because they knew, half of them knew they weren't coming back. Well, they didn't, did they, that? Even though, I don't know what part of war they took part in, but there were certainly a lot of them there. And there was hundreds of scenes like it. Dozens of jeeps and half-tracks.
Because you had one little escapade where you found
yeah, we're going to come to that. That was a funny escapade, because we were scrambling around in Polson Woods, back beside the bridge, obviously.
Yeah.
This would have been about 19, just at the onset of the war, quite early, because I was quite young. In the middle of this wood, there was like a chicken hut. Boy, I mean, you say, what the hell is a chicken hut doing in the middle of a wood? And there's wire netting over so many entrances. And looking in, you could see something. A box in the corner. Well, legally or illegally, as it turns out, we had some pulled up bloody wire out, crept in, and there were these, looked like pop bottles, two of a milky white substance, and I think there was a top on it, it was blue. I said, what the hell is that? I don't know, I'm going to drink that, blah, blah, anyway. So you would better take some at the police station. Oh, I'm going to carry the lot. I said, well, I put one in each pocket and walks all the way out eventually. Goes in the police station, and this is where I always say that the policemen them days were quite religious. Goes, walked in, what do you want? Put them on the counter, and the constable was on duty. He said, Jesus Christ. So what's up? Pointed behind the there's this poster, a picture of this deadly weapon that was, you know. Apparently it's phosphorus gas or bomb. You lift the lid off, you're gone. So, where'd you get that? Blah, blah, blah. Shouted out to the sergeant, and he come in, and he said, bloody hell. You know, we were amazed. What's up? What's up? I thought I carried these up in my pocket. God, and we had to write statements out where we got it. We thought that had been the end of it. But this is where it had a funny twist, because about 4 days, 5 days later, we were summoned to the police station and interviewed by some plainclothes people. London type accent, you'd have thought it was, but it wasn't. Where did we get it? How did we find it? Blah, blah, blah. Bearing in mind, this would have been a couple of days before the war, or just as the war started. Well, so on. So anyway, obviously in the meantime, the police have been down there and taken all away. We thought it was Home Guard, but it wasn't. It was a fifth columnist, buddy.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it turned out to be in the end. They were like anti-spy people who were talking to us. Because the idea would have been, Polson Bridge would have been troop movements, a couple of bloody half a dozen of these bombs would stop the bloody war for a week, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all right. Nothing to do with that. We thought it was Home Guard. So did the police, but it wasn't. It was fifth columnist.
Wow.
And so, and that was all hushed over.
During the war, there wouldn't have been.
We were threatened with bloody gunners. We had to keep our mouths shut.
Really?
We did.
Ah.
But
of course, there's nothing really.
I mean, at the time, anyway, there must be a poster somewhere or a picture of these defiances. Because one of the other objects over there were these dreadful, what they call them, mines that hang down, and you touch them, they explode. Little small ones, all anti-personnel.
Yeah.
All that on that picture was all anti-personnel weapons from the enemy. Nothing to do with British Army at all. So there's got to be a poster somewhere in the world, I suppose.
There will be, yeah. But that wasn't your only...
No, we... well, I mean, let's try to get back in a bit of a rotation. It's hard to relate when you think, how do people write their biographies? And because you must go from start to the middle, back to the start to the end, because you can't remember it as a film reel.
No, you can't. It's as memories come to you. Because I know you and your gang went down into the Land Lake Woods, didn't you?
Oh, and found the ammunition and that was an American ammo dump.
Colin, Peter.
Peter Wicks.
And Bob Wicks.
Bob Wicks, yeah. He's still about, apparently.
Yeah, Bob is, yeah.
I haven't seen him for years, but that were apparently, yeah. But the worst thing we did, we'd have got found out, we'd have gone to Borstal. The post office garage, now it's a MOT centre up Red Hill.
Yeah, at the top of Red Hill.
Commandeered by the US Navy. Dry land sailors and mother used to call them. And that was an ammunition dump. Now, one night we decided to see if we could get in. So, very quiet, on a Friday night, I think it was. So we moved from the back. There was a guard, but because it was in manned and the wards was, I think, at the day they started or not. I can't remember, but just before D-Day, I think. Anyway, we shinned up a drain pipe and lifted the skylight up, go at a length of rope, dropped down inside, and there was all this ammunition, machine gun belts and old boxes and stuff, put it in our pockets. Why did people do that? Pick it up, put it in your pockets. And I remember walking down Race Hill with a row of machine gun bullets, just like a bandino, like a bandits in Mexico. So once you've got it in your pockets, you can't take it back. So we kept it hidden for about, a month, I suppose, I don't know. We went and watched a cowboy film in the Torah Cinema. And the good boys to get the bad boys out of this shack in the middle of the bloody wilderness, took a lot of bullets in a handkerchief, threw it into the fire, and then it was going bang, ping, pop. So they all come out with their rounds up. That's what we do with ours. So the following night, the cattle market, you've got the pig side, you've got the middle bit. If the driver lorries unload them, go round the back and wash the lorries out. There was quite a little area there. So don't forget the war was on. And we made a bit of a bonfire, took some bloody bullets in. Wasn't very long before, ping, wow, bloody hell. So we had to creep down, get down out of sight. Down the bank, there were string nettles and bloody brambles, because these bullets were whizzing about. Next minute, we heard the police car coming with a bell ringing. That was a chap called Parker then, either Sergeant Parker or PC Parker. Pulled up in this bloody police car, they got out, of course, next minute, bang, pop, bullet, and they hit the deck. So we had to find our way home because There is this bonfire full of bullets shooting everywhere. Then the police on the way out. The only way out, we had to force our way down through the brambles and that, and into some property that we've been on Tavistock Road, then got onto Tavistock Road and up into Trelawney. Anyway, it was in the paper sometime later, but obviously they never found the culprits. But I mean, we were, how the hell we weren't killed, Roger, I don't know. At least injured.
Yeah, yeah.
We do some damn bloody things. We, oh, there was the Red Cross people during the war, doing the buns and cups of teas all over the place. They were, another incident. I went to National School wearing one brown shoe and one black shoe. Now, can you believe that? What it was, in St. Mary's Church, in the hall on the side, towards the choir place, every Thursday, was it, the old Women's Institute, you could come and pick up some clothes for your children. Anyway, I needed a pair of shoes. I never wore shoes for a little while. I don't remember that when I was a kid. And when I found a shoe, couldn't find the other one. And a woman said, "Here they are. This one's the same, nearly the..." But mother said, "One's white or brown and one's black." "Oh," she said, "that's easy, woman. When you get home, when you black lead the stove, black lead the shoe." Anyway, now I went to school at National School wearing one brown shoe and one black one. Nobody took any notice of it because destitute, wasn't it, during the war?
Well, I suppose it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that for a little while. I remember that. But
because it must be difficult on your mum being,
well, yeah,
being a widow.
Yeah, when she died, oh, that was terrible. Well, today people don't realise how fortunate they are. All these organisations who help them, and you've got people who only got the specialists of the group go weeping and wailing. They get handed money, but in them days, the only help you had, you did yourself. I remember there was a thing Mother went on and Father did, was the penny panel, where you paid a penny a week or something. You could get medical help. That was your national health type thing.
Yeah, of course this was all before the National Health Service, wasn't it?
But you made do it then. The few of the elders of your family, what you wore yesterday, your brother was wearing next week, sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in that, actually.
No, I think that went.
Also, I remember living in Trelawney. Before we moved to Trelawney, was this building we were in, number 9. We went up a flight of stairs, steps. I went into the open. And that was the town wall with the upright stone.
Yeah.
The tap there. And you're out in the open air. I remember that where. And that, luckily, now think back, that was the actual, still there, I suppose.
Yeah, it's still there.
So other bad things that I do, I can't think about in a minute.
Well, I'm just thinking about coming back to the time that your gang went down Land Lake and you found.
Oh, well, that's yes. Very well. There again, we were hanging on the end of the law, technically, weren't we? So what do you do with it all? I mean, it's
but it's the war, isn't it?
It didn't seem to matter, Roger. How can I put it over? It didn't seem to matter.
So when the Americans, obviously with D-Day, the Americans disappeared.
Certainly saved this town in a way because they arrived with handfuls of money, and
that's what 7, 10, 6, 4 and 5
what else was there then?
Do you remember the Americans going and the prisoners of war coming into the...
Well, when D-Day, but we didn't know it was D-Day, I remember standing on... what Tesco's is now.
St Mary's.
Yeah, what they call that corner, is it called a corner?
Page's Cross.
Yeah, that's where we used to catch a bus to Plymouth. And convoy after convoy went by, and they were chucking iron rations over the side, like boxes of food and that. And they were going off then to the departure ports, obviously.
Yeah.
And that, and the silence fell, if you can imagine it. We went out to the camps, the silence, I mean, obviously there were troops there, but not many. And at that time, we actually was watching history being made. We didn't, you don't think about it, do you?
No. No.
No, that were...
So it must have been quite a change for the town to all of a sudden lose.
Yeah, it's gone. The activity disappeared overnight.
Yeah.
Like, it's been accounts of the horrendous traffic. I remember that during the holiday season. But I remember where we lived in Trelawney. You looked down on Tavistock Road. I used to sit there for hours just watching army convoys go by. There were... blue flag on the first one, and a green one on the back, I think, a vehicle. That you could tell which is the front of the convoy and which was the back.
All right.
Yeah, I think that... I can't remember armoured vehicles other than the half-track. I don't think there was any tanks in Lanton. No, I can't recall any, Roger. But
no.
Half-tracks, yeah.
Because you can. Do you remember the when the bombs fell on the town?
Yeah, they were out at
St Stephen's.
St Stephen's. And we were. We hadn't gone to bed then, but all it was like a distant rumble. Mother said, "Oh my God, thunder!" Because he was shit scared of thunder, my mother. God. You only had a flash of torch in the light, and she went into war, man. And we thought it was thunder, would you believe? Yeah, well, of course it was. Of course, then you could go on the walk, and you could see where the disturbed craters were. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope somebody took a photograph of that, but I've never seen one.
Never come across one myself.
Well, of course. What film in them days was used for military purposes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You couldn't get any film anyway.
Yeah, it would have to be a special thing.
There was an out of Herdon way, there was a bomber that crashed. I think it was a twin engine one. But there was no photographs of that, of course, obviously.
Yeah, it's. Of course, the war years, there a lot of
things were happening. Yeah.
Even reporting was limited. So,
for years, I had a bit of there was a Messerschmitt on show in the square once, one that had been shot down.
All right.
And I managed to break a bit of metal off of there, and of course, it's gone now. God knows where it went.
So, the end of the war, you got VE Day, do you remember?
Oh, the dancing and joy, people with flowers everywhere. Floor dance every day of the week, I think, almost.
So it was a celebration.
Big celebrations, yeah. Time flocked with people. And so I can recall people saying, "Oh, what's old Sona going to do now? He won't be able to make no money now." These entrepreneurs or twisters that didn't give a damn like that.
No, the black market.
Black market. One was named was the landlord of the King's Arms. He was wise enough to realise, apparently on the outset of war, he had a good cellar for the whiskey. And of course, whiskey were, Juno were like gold, weren't they? You couldn't,
yeah.
I never drunk it in my life. But apparently it was alleged that he suddenly realised that that was valuable, and he hoarded it away, wouldn't sell it to nobody. Because he knew, or somehow, obviously, that the Yanks would be here shortly. And he was selling, like, say, a £5 bottle of whiskey for 25, 30 quid. Mm-hmm. Made a fortune. He had a nickname, what did they call it for that? But he only done what other people did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd probably done the same if I had about 100 bottles of whiskey.
Well, it's a supply and demand, isn't it?
Well, in them days.
Yeah. So, the end of the war, you're now, you must be getting near the end of your school.
Yeah, we...
And we've got that wonderful Dick Tracy incident, haven't we?
Oh, Christ, yeah, that was 1948. August 1948. I were on the way to the war. Yeah, I got away with that, I don't know. But you can imagine, I said, do it day after day. I could look out of the bedroom Trelawney, right across Kenzie Vale, and you could see the steam coming from the engine of the train I was going to catch, actually blowing off steam in Torrell Station. And of course, oh, I better get ready. They always leave at the last minute. The train used to leave Lanton at 8:03. Why 8:03? Yeah, nobody ever knew. Not 5 past or 5:02, it was 8:03. And time and time again, I just got there, train was about to leave, jumped on, all that nonsense. This particular day, Bill Manning was the guard, I remember that poor old Bill. I chipped my bike up against the fence. Ran and jumped on, opened the door, and it hit me foot off right on the end. And I remember like sliding down a long pole, but it wasn't long. And
I thought you meant
6 cents kicked in. I let it like that. You could hear the wheels going by, you know, rattle bang, rattle bang, rattle bang. And I didn't think it had ever stopped. It sounded like eternity. Next thing I heard was, "You all right?" That was Fernie Davy, a porter, come from Ashmore. He said, "Yeah, I'm all right." Got up, dusted myself down, pulled me up on the platform. I had a flask and a bottle in my bag. None of that was broke, nothing. And, of course, then I remember why I did it, because as I was laying there, I could think of this Dick Barton escapade where he lay perfectly still, got away with it, you know.
Mm.
And that's how the Dick Barton story started. Yeah, but called Dick Barton then for years. Still do. Occasionally, somebody might see me. We moved from this way to Bristol area. But I think last one died, Jimmy North. He used to call me Dick Barton. Yeah, so, that's how that happened. That.
So you were working on the railway then?
I was on the railway. An office boy at Osram.
Right.
So that
was your first job?
First job was an office boy at Osram, yeah.
Who was that
guy? How long did you stay there?
Well, till 1952, sorry, 1951, National Service.
Right.
Because I remember signing on and signed on at Northcote Street. There's some offices when they're halfway up. Near enough on the junction of Castle Street. Big granite building, can't remember the corner now.
Was that the old Jubilee Inn? Or?
Yeah, it was. At the time they were like the, not council offices, but.
government type
unemployment and all that.
Oh yeah, yeah, the labour exchange.
Labour exchange, basically. Went there and signed on, and that was it. We remember going into one of the barber shop along Westgate Street about 2 days before we went in the army, and the barber, well-known local bloke, can't even name that.
Rickard?
No, one Yankee Rickard. He were along Westgate Street. Oh, you're going in the army, are you? He said, I'll cut your hair short, he said, but the army will cut it shorter. I said, how the hell could they have cut that? But they did. Yeah, I remember saying that.
So from an office boy at Altrincham Station, you right, were into the British Army?
Oh, I got in the medical corps. Luckily, I was in the St. John's Ambulance. And when I went for me induction into the army, took me certificates and whoever was looked at them, oh, they're coming, Andy, yeah. Anyway, there was an old colonel there of the Cornish Light Infantry. Come and join the company regiment, my son. So had I had done, I don't know where I'd have done that. Anyway, I put down for the medical corps and got in there. I was lucky. And then went, did all my training, and eventually ended up in Westbury, met the wife, and been there ever since.
Oh, so it's through your National Service
that you got the Westbury.
Right.
Well, and the railway, because I come back to Lancing for a year and a half after getting demobbed and putting for a better job, obviously, up in Westbury.
So when you came back here, you were working at Launceston Station?
Yeah, we've a job on nearly the same, almost the same, that at Westbury. The railway would be brought in different. There was a commercial, the traffic, and operating department. Operating was steam engines and God knows what. Traffic was guards, shunters, porters, and office staff. Commercial were the goods side of it, like goods wagons, and different from the other cartage. Old Les Worden were mixed up with that a lot, if I remember really. And of course, it was what they call a reliefman's job. You go around different stations where you're needed, Dungeon and Cross, Whitstone, St. Cue, Delaball, Carlstadt, you name, Tavistock. I've been there doing different jobs with the timber gang loading timber. I think I got a couple of photographs of loading the timber at Lancing.
There's two on the back in the group.
There again, should have took more photographs, but finances, you've got to think. When I was at the engine shed at Westbury, I could see it all needed photographing because it's going to disappear. But with film, 2 and 6 months for the film, 5 shillings to get it developed and printed, that's a third of your wages in them days.
Yeah.
People don't realise that.
Yeah, that's why there isn't the photographs. So your national service was actually done in this, you didn't go to...
I never went, unfortunately. I was hoping I would have gone overseas, but I didn't. So, that was sad. I wish I had gone overseas, but had I done, I wouldn't be sat here now. So,
No. So you saw out your career working for British Railways?
Yeah, I went back on the railway and went back. Funny enough, the same as I had in Lancing was a shunting, and as a relief shunter within 12 months, which did the same thing, stations all over the Wiltshire, Somerset border, doing all different jobs. Every job basically, then drive a train. I'm going to do signalmen's work, which included pointsmen and hand signalmen, office work, shunting, sweeping the platform. I did it, you know.
So your career has actually taken in everything.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to be a driver? Or?
Well, funnily, no, not. You see, not everybody want to be a driver, so maybe financially it might have been an incentive, but no, not really. No, I didn't actually, when you come to think of it, not.
Mm.
And yet my daughter became a driver in the end, Biddy. And one of my boys was on the foot playing the silly so-and-so packed the job in, but there you go, that's his story.
But you've enjoyed your career?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't have, the railways when I left, it was a companion camaraderie thing, but now it's terrible. They even report one another. You know, like super silly, bloody, I can't understand it. Can't understand it.
Well, thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
I'll put this, is part of Lanson's history.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing.
Obviously, you're welcome.